going to read from a portion of from Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah 8 and verse 18, just four verses. I beg your pardon. Yeah. Verse 19, chapter 8, verse 19. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not the people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it, hard-pressed and hungry. And it shall happen, when they are hungry, that they will be enraged, and curse their king and their God, and look upward. Then they will look to the earth, and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Well, what is all that about? Let's be reminded that Isaiah is prophesying to a people who have busily been rejecting their God. Now, human beings are essentially spiritual creatures. In Britain, we think we're a secular people, and the churches are empty and the chapels are closing down. But actually, if you dig beneath the surface, there is an old kind of pagan spirituality rearing its head. Have you noticed that people are creating their own shrines now? You know, someone crashes on the roadside and you find there's a football scarf tied to a tree and flowers and messages addressed to the dead person. And 2,000 or 3,000 years ago in this country, that is actually what people did. Again, you go to a garden centre. I counted at the garden centre in Clitheroe. There were 7 different types of Buddha statue available to buy for your garden. You could have a fat one, a thin one, a gold-coloured one, whatever manner of Buddha statue you want. And I guess there is a market for that among those people who say, oh, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. Mm. Of course, it's all tomfoolery. But it does illustrate, I think, Solomon's claim that God has placed eternity in the heart of man. Another example or evidence of that is that people who don't believe in God, they believe that we came from sludge and essentially there is no meaning to life. But why do they cry when people die? Mm-hmm. You know, if there is no meaning to life and it's all a big accident, why get upset when someone dies? I'll tell you why they get upset, because deep down they know death is unnatural. Mm-hmm. Death is wrong. We were meant to live. We were meant to live in harmony with each other. We were meant to live with God. But for rejecting God, the spiritual side of our nature is still there, though it be neglected. And we fill it with the silly statues or the crystals on the window ledge. And Isaiah speaks of a people in chapter 8 who have rejected the covenant their forefathers made with God. They've rejected his word, they've rejected his prophets, they've rejected his law. And what do they fill that spiritual yearning with? Well, that there are those around at the time of Isaiah who say, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter. It's interesting, if you look at, I've already mentioned the decline of Christianity in Great Britain. It's a debatable point, when does it begin? But I think it probably begins around the First World War. Well, it may have begun before that, but the First World War became more obvious. The churches were still well attended, but the church going became an older person's activity. But one church that did especially well, after the First World War was the Spiritism. And if you look at so-called spiritualist churches, they're usually built in the 1920s. And that is partly because every household had lost someone in the Great War, and they missed them and grieved for them so much, you know, the prospect of having a chat with them was really rather appealing. So the churches that preached the gospel were declining, but the churches that mumbled and pretended to talk to the dead appeared to thrive. And evidently, this expression of so-called spirituality is happening in Israel at the time of Isaiah. They've rejected the covenant with God, but those who claim to speak to the dead are doing a roaring trade. I like the description, they whisper and they mutter. I read a great novel a year or two ago, lent to me by someone at Martin Top, called Nightmare Alley. All about charlatans making money in 1920s America, claiming to communicate with the dead. And it builds into the story the different techniques they use. You lower your voice here, you raise it there, and so on. And these people, and I don't think the dead can be communicated with, by the way. They're either awaiting judgment and have better things on their minds than where the missing treasure is or your car keys were left. Or they're before the throne of Christ. And they are beholding the glory of which tonight we have sung. And with all due respect to them and to us, they don't care what's going on here. You know, when you look at Jesus, you don't care about the problems of earth, in heaven and on earth. But here are these wizards and mediums muttering. And Isaiah says, should not a people seek their gods? They're ignoring gods, but turning to the crooks and the charlatans. They're seeking the dead on behalf of the living instead of the living one. In Darwin, there is a congregational church, which I noted was hiring out one of its rooms to a medium every Sunday. And I wrote to the minister and said, basically, you should be ashamed of yourself. He never replied, funny that. But anyway...
did he know your letter was coming?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, you know, these kinds of things happen. And Isaiah is saying here, don't seek the dead. Seek God. Seek your creator. Seek him who made you in your mother's womb. And in verse 20, he has the real message, the real remedy for anyone who is seeking answers and looking for hope or, you know, they're missing people who've died, to the law and to the testimony. If we were writing it today, we'd say, turn to the Bible. If you wish to commune with the spiritual world, if you wish to satisfy the spiritual yearning you have in your heart, which you've always have and always will do, then seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, and you call upon him, having read of his character and his nature in his own written word, which so many of us tonight are holding to the law and to the testimony. He says, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. People who would speak to the late great Aunt Fanny, but would reject the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they are spiritually dark people. And the gospel we know is light, because the God of the gospel is the light of the world. He then gives some descriptions of their fate, both the people who advise approaching the dead and those, I suppose, who claim to be able to do so. They will pass through it, hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. That's a hard verse to interpret. I'm actually minded a little bit there of hell. Hell is the ultimate place of spiritual hunger, a place of darkness, a place of rage, a place of curse and being cursed, of rejecting all authority, of evil unrestrained. And those who would communicate with spirits while rejecting the gospel are anticipating the very hell to which they are heading. No satisfaction, looking up, as it were, and hating everything they see. They will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Again, they're already dark, but they're heading towards more darkness. That is what people who claim to deal with spirits and the like, they're already dark, but they're getting darker. Now, we might leave the chapel tonight and comment, it is dark. But once or twice, I've seen real darkness. If ever you've done the tour of Lancaster Castle, the highlight for the school children, of course, has been locked in the old medieval dungeon. Health and safety probably prevents it now. But you take your school party and they go into the dungeon and the doors clang, and there is no light at all. Now, usually you enter a dark room, you give your eyes a few seconds to adjust, and you can make out the odd shape. But in that darkness, there is nothing. And these dark people are heading even more into the darkness for having rejected the God of light and seeking either man-made nonsense or demonic deception. Although Isaiah is proclaiming judgment upon the people of God, the next chapter, and I will not steal next week's thunder, as it were, but the next chapter is one of hope. You know, Isaiah often proclaims judgment upon the people of God and indeed the surrounding nations. But we have here a chapter which gets trotted out at the kind of annual carol service. And I'll just read verse 2 of chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. In chapter 8, he's talking about dark people becoming even darker. But that the hope of the gospel is found in the following chapter. And the hope here for anyone here tonight, or indeed anyone who may be listening online later, is that although our lives now are dark, Jesus, the light of the world, offers to shed his light on our hearts and on our spirits, that we might leave the darkness and come into the light. Tonight, shortly, we are going to pray. We aren't going to pray to angels. We aren't going to pray to John Wesley or Martin Luther. We're not going to pray to godly folk we recall from perhaps a few years ago. They've now gone into glory. Even if they could hear what you're saying, and I don't think they can, even if they could, they don't care, because they cannot and will not be distracted from the one in whose presence they are currently in. No, tonight we're going to pray to God himself. And we're not praying through a priest, we're not praying through Mary, we're not praying through a pastor, we're not praying through a denomination. We're praying through Jesus Christ himself, our great high priest, through whom we have full and complete access to God. Is it not a wonderful thought that the God of heaven, who sustains everything in this universe by his word, if he withdrew, everything would suddenly disappear? The God who is holding the universe in place, tonight, when we pray, we'll listen to every word. The dead can't and won't hear us. But the God of the word and the testimony will. Be encouraged, therefore. Amen.